Hi, Anne and everybody else, Label and Lincoln and Randy and Christopher and Bernie and Debbie and Robin and the new Nick to be. We've been talking for a long time about making a tape for all of you, almost as long as I've been putting off writing a letter, in fact. And finally today, Will took the bull by the horns, meaning me, and here we are starting a tape. We're going to get the kids to say some stuff and maybe even shudder, sing a song or so. And on the other side are a lot of songs, a sort of a concert program that Will made a duplicate of when Maridel was here with her machine, which puts it way back in February, when he took some things off his machine with hers and she did the same, so that they both would have duplicates to send. She also brought for us the tape that you had made for Mama, and we played it and found it very entertaining. And that's when we resolved to do one, so that really isn't so bad. February, March, April, May, and this is the 1st of June today that we're finally doing it on. We've had quite an exciting time lately. This week we both got a few more white hairs because Martin managed to get bitten by a dog. We now refer to him as Dog Bait since the incident is successfully over. But he leaned over to pick up his briefcase he had dropped, and he grappled with a dog who wanted it too and got bitten on the thumb. And as, of course, it was a stray dog, we had the whole neighborhood aroused looking for it before we finally found it the next day. And yesterday we got the report that all was well and neither he nor the dog have rabies. But in the meantime, we had a very bad time of it. However, we found out that the whole neighborhood of Brooklyn was just like any neighborhood in any small town. Everybody was out looking for it, and it was finally caught by the man in the vegetable store. Today, when I went shopping, all kinds of people, including total strangers, stopped to ask me whether the dog had been found, or if they were briefed on that, whether the dog had been found to be all right. The principal called up, and they had sent notices around the school and everything. It was a very interesting experience, which I hope we'll never have anything like again. I'm going to turn this off for a minute so I don't fill the whole thing, if I can remember how. Will, what do you... Oh.
You want to say something, Martin?
What do I say?
Well, what do you say? Say hello.
Hello,
Joe. Everybody. Oh, too. Who do you think is out in San Francisco?
Aunt Danny.
All right, we'll talk into the microphone.
Hello, Aunt Danny. And Randy and Lincoln and Christopher.
You don't have to speak so close. Hold it a further. All right, now.
And Robin.
Why don't you tell about the boys or the Lincoln Day Camp you're going to this summer?
No, I'm going to tell them about my dual bait.
Well, go ahead.
Yes.
Well.
Yeah, say it out loud. Tuesday morning.
Well, Tuesday morning. Well, I was going to the bus at the corner. I dropped my briefcase and went to pick it up, and a dog, the stray, came along and bit me.
Go ahead, tell all about it. Whatever happened.
When I got to school, the principal, Mr. Gallen, fixed it up, and then I went right to the doctor with my father, and he cauterized it. And then I went home, and we looked for the dog, and my mother asked lots of everybody, and they were searching for the dog. And then one day later, the vegetable store man caught it into the junkyard. He chased it in there and he tied it with a string. And now the dog's all right, so I don't have to get those
anti-rabies
shots.
And we're all very relieved.
We're all very relieved. Here's Daddy.
Well, I guess you know about the dog bite, but Martin, will you tell us about the dancing classes you've been going to? Tell about the dancing classes, Martin. Patty just came in, but as soon as Martin is through speaking, then Patty will get a chance to speak. Come on, Martin, the tape is going fast.
Well, I go to dancing school. We learn a lot of things there.
kind of dance did you do?
Today?
Today, yeah.
We do square dancing and all that kind of dancing. And
did you do a scarf dance with the others?
And scarf dance.
Yeah. Now, one other thing.
There's nothing else. We do other things. And here's Patty.
Hi, Randy, Lincoln, Chrissy, and Robin. As you know, Martin also takes dancing lessons, and so do I. And this week was our last week, and we had it was kind of like a recital, except our regular class. And Daddy and Martin watched mine, and Daddy watched part of Martin's. And last Friday, I think it was, my troop had a square dance in school. And that Saturday, I went to visit some friends. And that Sunday, I took a boat ride to Bear Mountain. And
So Bell Committee, wasn't it?
Yes. And they they had dancing. They had a children's hour where they had singing. And I sold things there. And at Bear Mountain, that we took a bus to the picnic grounds. And there were rocks, and we had the lunch. And then they were playing games for prizes. So I was looking for them with Martin and another family, two other boys. And we couldn't find them. And then we were walking around. And when all of a sudden I couldn't see them, I looked all around. And then I went back, and when we came back, they were climbing up on the mountain, hills, I mean, the mountains, whatever you call them. And then my father, Daddy, and I, we went for the, were playing the games, and they had ice skating there, and there was this, roller skating, and there was this, I can't remember. And then on the boat trip back, they had a reading hour, but it was baby for little children from, it said from, I think it was 4 to 8, but only little children went. And then they had a movie, and then they also had dancing. But not too much of it because the boys were playing there with balls and things and running around. And this summer I'm going to Girl Scout camp. And June 6th we're going on our cookout. And right now Papa's reaching for the mic, but I'll talk to you later.
Well, this is Papa. Papa Strong Brahms, as Martin used to call me. On the other side of the tape are some songs and arias that I did some time ago, and they were re-recorded on Meridel's tape. Some of them are not so good. Some aren't too bad. But in a little while, as soon as we get through telling about what's been happening to us, why Martin's going to sing Tumbalalaika, and Patty and I are going to, she's going to play, and she and I are going to sing my first waltz, and she composed some words for this song that or piece that she's learning in her piano lessons. Now, Martin, I understand that you're going to some kind of a camp this summer also. Will you tell us about it?
This summer, in July, I'm going to a day camp called Lincoln Day Camp.
Where you're going to go every day and swim and play?
I don't know where it is.
Well, talk into the mic.
Step closer to the microphone, please.
What should I say? What to say?
when there's a mic in front of him, he doesn't know what to say about how he's going to get picked up with a bus every morning and have special camp shorts and a shirt. And they'll have showers and all kinds of playing outside and stuff all summer.
And swimming.
That is all of July. I have to work through July. And in August, we all get the month off. And then we're probably, well, we're almost certainly going home, though we're going to stop off and see the farm that Will's cousins have in Iowa and do some other visiting around, but we're going to be out at the lake part of the time. We'd love to know what your plans are, because we haven't heard from anybody. Would you like to see them this summer?
Yes.
Martin.
Yes.
A few weeks ago, you know, I was working at BMI, and you remember those song titles, those funny song titles? Could you remember a few of them?
Yeah.
Tell what...
Say You're Mine, Porcupine.
And then what's some of the others like? See You Soon?
Baboon.
See You Soon?
See You Soon, Baboon. No, you gotta do something that's not on the list. Like, you had like, put Take Your Cold Feet Out of My Back. And
yeah, you remember.
Take Your Cold Feet Out of My Back. Wilbur the Wiggly Worm.
Yeah.
Label Get Off the Table, is that one? Label.
No, and one that Mama made up. Label.
I don't want that one.
You don't want that one. Dorothy made up a song title, Label, Get Off the Table.
Label, Get Off the Table. What's that other one that you didn't make up? That something?
Cheyenne from Cheyenne. Wyoming, that is. And how about Sacroiliac Swing?
What is that again?
Hey, Bub.
Get out
of the tub.
Hey, Bub, get out of the tub.
And also from BIM, Wilbur the Wiggly Worm.
You already said that. Now, we're going to have a little musical program. Martin, do you want to sing Tumbalalaika now?
Yeah, both verses.
Both verses. Yeah.
How do I go on the piano? First one. First at the beginning says, Witch Hilton, ding, 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 ding.
A boy sing the note and a ding.
Right, now Martin.
A boy lay singing all the night through. Wondering what to do, which girl to choose, which girl to lose, which girl to choose, which girl to lose. Tumbala, 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 go tumbala. Tumbala, tumbala, go tumbala, go play ball, go tumbala, go play ball, go.
Thank you, Martin. Now, what do we have? Patty, have you got your song, My First Waltz? My First Waltz is one of the pieces that Patty is learning in her piano lessons. And she and a friend of ours, but mostly Patty, worked out some words. And what we'll have to do, I guess, is... I wonder, can we move that thing closer? We'll just have to sing loud, won't we, Patty?
Yes.
All right. Will you? Okay, you hold it as close as you can, Dorothy.
I'm the holder now. All right, Patty.
I made up an
Thank you. get through just without the words now?
No.
Yeah, just the words, without the words. Very good, very good, Pat. And now we present this next number for Anne. This is dedicated to Anne. We now present the Que Sera Singers. Wind up the phonograph. Okay, now let's give it some life.
Whatever will be.
Remember, this is for Annie. I think that's enough.
And fell in love. I asked my lover, what lies ahead?
I know what's going to lie ahead. Bed.
Day after day, here's what my lover said.
No more. All that remains is for me to sing. I can't give you anything but love, baby, and I won't do that to anybody.
We didn't finish that.
Oh, yes, you did.
We didn't know.
No, that's all.
We didn't
know. That's enough. I think that Annie got the idea. And now, what is there? What else do we have to say now, Dorothy?
Well, words really ought to fail us at this point. Maybe we ought to save the rest of the tape for some other time. What do you want to do, Martin?
I want to put some more tonight.
What do you want to put on it tonight?
Some more singing.
What kind of singing?
What kind of singing? Any kind of singing.
Well,
like CLC. Okay, shut up.
Well, if you want to sing that one song from Hansel and Gretel,
I
guess you can.
Hey, I want to sing another song.
I want to say something.
Oh, we did. Oh, wait a minute. Tell them about the opera thing, and then they'll sing.
Well, I think we did.
Did we tell you about...
No, I guess we didn't tell you about Hansel and Gretel that Martin and Patty were in, where they played... That they were in four different parts. They were fantastic animals, and they were gingerbread children, and they were...
Angels.
Will you come here and help me tell? And then they were also in the double bill, the magic flute that Papa was singing.
We carried out a tree.
And they were the tree trunk.
And today, my mommy bought me a record from Oklahoma. And
how did Oklahoma get in here?
And I might play some parts for you. Well, right now, I'd like to go play my girlfriend's over, so goodbye.
Okay, goodbye.
Come on. Oh, let's do that record.
Just sing that one thing from Hansel and Gretel.
Okay. See, oh, see the wonder how the winter itself has gone on away in the snare laid for a great cunning rare.
That was very nice.
Oh, let's sing that other song from Hansel and Gretel.
Which one?
I can't sing it.
One has buried near our grave. God the Lord will send me.
I think the needle got stuck, it sounds like to me. But Patty went to look it up, and we're going to sign off for the moment.
Well, this is Will. And while Dorothy's thinking, I repeat, thinking of what to say, I'll say a few words. She said that will be the day. Well, anyway, the situation is roughly this. She's looking through her papers for a copy of a sonnet she wrote. And we think it's pretty good, and she's submitting it to some of the magazines. And she's been encouraged by one of the professors at Brooklyn College and a number of her associates at work to send it in. And I won't attempt to explain anything about it because she'll do that. She knows more about it. Okay, Dorothy?
Gee, I know more about something. Well, as I said to Will, as long as we got some tape left and I've been wanting to send it to you, I might as well put it on the tape because it seems much easier than writing it, and if it waits for that, I probably never will. It's, as usual, a sonnet as to these children that I work with. I called it Sonnet to the Child Who Never Grew, after a story that Pearl Buck wrote about her own child who's retarded. That was in the Ladies' Home Journal a few years ago, and I sent the poem to the Ladies' Home Journal, but they sent it back saying it was too specialized and I should send it to a special journal. So anyway, this is how it goes. These children of clouded eye and troubled look have laid their small, warm hands upon my heart. These little ones whom kindly fate forsook, destined to play perpetual child's part. With eager patience, they try hard to please those giants of skill, ourselves. And what for others is natural learning reached with simple ease is bitter effort for these little brothers. the labored step, the half-articulate word, bespeak the lost reflex, the damaged brain. Too often shadowed faces show the pain of hunger for acceptance still deferred. Answer his heart with your heart, warm and real. This is the wisdom he can learn to feel.
Okay, Dorothy.
Well, there's all kinds of stuff, if I could imagine that we're just sitting together, that I would want to say. I'm eager to see Bernie and Debbie again, and very interested and excited by the prospect of a new addition to the tribe. And Mother wrote me that Bernie was flourishing in his job and stuff, too, and she sounded very happy about everything. It appeared that she had finally gotten a chance to hear the tape, finally being partly because we didn't get around to sending it back very fast, and then it took a while, I guess, to arrange to get over there and play it for her, but she got a big kick out of it. We learned most of our facts of your lives from those tapes, too, and they were very interesting, though it made my head ache to think of all the instruments going at once and stuff, and I must say you're a staunch soul, Annie. I personally have made, well, we had both of the kids taking piano lessons, though Martin doesn't stand still very long. The teacher had him partly drumming and stuff while she played and things like that. But we stopped it for a while, mainly because it was so difficult to get him there and back. And we'll probably start again next year. In the meantime, both of them have been going to dancing classes, and they've been getting a tremendous kick out of it. It's a kind of a pre-ballet dancing, which is partly interpretive dancing and partly learning some of the old posture and positions and so forth, but not in too formal of a sense, and they've gotten a great kick out of it. And Martin started with two other boys in the neighborhood, but they dropped out, and he was the only boy. He didn't seem to mind at all, however. And Patty just today joined a chorus in a neighborhood temple that one of her friends is in. She went today and they invited her to come back and sing with them. She was very pleased about it. I guess she'll add that to her activities. She's getting to be quite active, do quite a few things. And besides that, has gotten to be quite a bookworm after I had despaired of her ever getting to be a very good reader at all. So I'm hoping that the same thing will happen to Martin, though at the moment he's finishing the second grade, and we got notification from the teacher that they're still working on the first grade reader.
And now, a word about Martin's progress. He seems to be quite absent-minded as far as school is concerned, but I noticed that when I was up there a few months ago during open school week, that while he didn't shine in the academic subjects, that when it came to some of the singing and dramatic portions, he changed completely and became the head of the class. And so we think that probably the same thing that happened with Patty a few grades ago will happen to him. He's not reading too well, and he's not doing too well in spelling, but that was true of Patty before too, and now Patty has changed into quite a bookworm and quite an outgoing personality. So I guess ultimately why it all comes out pretty well. I want to say hello to Bernie particularly and to Label. While I heard Bernie on the tape, and I read Label's excellent poetry, why, it's some years since I've seen them. And, of course, a special hello to Debbie. And as for you, Annie, what are you doing tonight? Did you like the Que Sera singers? Well, they're out of practice. We haven't had too many rehearsals. We would like to have another tape from you. As you know, on our tape, we had the regular speed, not the slow speed, because frankly, we just didn't have enough wind, enough things to report. There are a lot of things happening here, of course, and some of the things you've been reading about, some of which are not that good at all, but there are encouraging signs. There's been a tendency, particularly in our neighborhood, to kind of erase our lifetimes, and there's been a lot of dragging of feet and defeatism, but among a large number of other people, particularly those who work for a living, there's a more...
Here they got a guy and he goes over and he starts eating grass, so you know everybody eating grass. So I went over, you know, I told him, what are you doing there? I was just, you know, nuts. So I said, not a tough, you better take care of him, might be worse than that. Four or five guys come out in the tents around there and they picked on me and only had to call out the rest of the reserves to get me out of there. Anyway, they finished, see? Well, I found out he's a favorite with them. It's just a habit here, you know. No, listen, Ray. It was a habit, is it? I didn't realize those things. Well, anyway.
Well, you're wonderful.
You were conservative in that direction.
That was the deal, see. Well, then Pawnee Bill was there. He was doing some shooting and everything else. I got acquainted with that. And I come down here, I think it was 1906 or 1907. In front of the old Crystal Theater, there was Pawnee Bill standing there, you know, the biggest life of a Western movie. Moving picture there? Advertising. And I walked by there and I stopped and looked at him and he looked at me, you know. He wasn't sure he knew me and I wasn't sure. Well, I walked up and I started talking to him. I was Pawnee Bill. And the guy I was working for that time was the ticket taker for the Crystal Theater. 10 cents you could go in there and see two movies and sleep all night. No, you could.
From the bar and what we've been
Station. No, you were much too much.
I mean, it wasn't anything like it is now.
Hickok, you mean?
Yeah. Wild Bill, I called them around. They were before my tent too, but I had me a lot of places they had, like Northfield and up at Wheatman, North Dakota. Well, the Delphi boys got that bank up there. Ruby and Arnie were up there. And I was there looking for Ruby and Arnie, and one time, you know, they were in an apartment or in a couple rooms up over there.
You want to go to
next to the bank?
Uh-huh.
An old guy stopped and banned me out here. They all play the same tune, these guys go through the parts manual. Port, right shoulder, left shoulder.
Unless you're expecting.
Yeah, I'm all in rhythm. And it's built, right? And one north of there and then one southeast of there. Well, in the summertime, they took Toronto. And they killed dogs, you know, and hang on the entrails and everything else. Right? Boy, it was a real thing. I can remember that yet.
Well, what do you think about the Indian business
when you're... Well, I think about it, I think they got a lot of friends. Yeah. Everybody else. You can't think of it, no. We bought that territory from Spain or France?
France. That was part of the territory.
Yeah, it was
part of the Louisiana.
Well, who bought it from the Indians?
From the Indians?
Yeah, nobody. It's Sandberg told the story, you know.
The Indians are asking for it back.
Yeah. Well, they should have. That's a good
company, yeah. Were you in the Army class that were in there? You were a half-breed.
Did you ever feel like you got to know any of them well?
Well, this guy I knew pretty well. He was a good scout. I was all along, and I was an officer and he was a private. We was taking some stuff from Fort Riley to Fort Emory Upton, Wisconsin, Camp Emory Upton. I was going to a garbage camper on it. A baggage car. That's
pretty close. Rid of them.
There was two of them. It was loaded with ammunition and stuff, see? And we were going out from Fort Riley to Camp Emory Upton at Sparta, Wisconsin. Near Sparta, Wisconsin. And this thing, and he was a corporal. I was sorry, you see. And I was under this night. Pat brought Patterson, my pal, he was sleeping. One of us had to sleep and the other had to be under the explosion. Well, this Earls, Corporal Earls, was half reaching. I don't know, he got fooling around there, you know, and of course I have a fortune, you know, I was young, kid, you know, and cocky as hell. So he came in and he got started around, you know, and I ordered him out of the place and he wouldn't go, you know, he didn't like that. So I stuck a sword in him a little bit, see. So he got off. Well, the next day after that, I went and watched and he come back and he smacked him inside the end and knocked me down. Well, I got up and there grabbed everybody, see. Well, then they had a little controversy about that. And it's up before the tribunal or whatever. And they found out that I was doing my duty, see, but he was, I don't know what he was doing. I can't figure it out. Anyway, he didn't like it, and then well, we got to Sparta, Wisconsin, we got back to Aberdeen after that, and I was back in the garden. So he got a detail, a four man, I was beautiful at this time. I was playing pool down the Warrior Hill basement, and I didn't report the board of bugle call on the shooting board. So he takes his squad down in the Warrior Hill after me. Imagine four guys in the car, 10 yell, they would go down Main Street and get in front of my place where my mother lived, and I kind of bulk up. We went right across the street and back, fighting, wrestling and everything. I didn't kick out of it. Finally, Captain. What do you call it? Come along, you put a stop with me. So you come on. Well, I'd go with him, but this world, I didn't want him. That was funny.
Well, how about the time you beat the Canadian champion at the Marvel in the war at pool? I like those stories. The Matt Marvel.
Well, the Matt Marvel, I thought that was going to next week. But the Canadian champion, that was on Elgin Pool. That's funny.
He was a Canadian champion and you beat him?
Captain,
oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I like to see him play pool.
You know, that's funny.
Do you play pool, Ray?
There is that.
Well, let's play a game with him sometime, just so we can. I like to
see
him.
Yeah, how about that?
Well,
I like to play pool.
Tell her about the Mass Marble up there at Lakeview.
That was the time I got $100. You remember that guy was talking about?
He came in there, didn't he, to challenge anybody in the place?
You know, he come in, he's parked outside in his car, he had a cue, you know, a folding cue, a jointed cue, you know, and had all wrapped up in leather cases.
Whatever. He had the pocket or anything.
He come in and he wanted to play again for him. He wouldn't play personal, no small stuff. He's a big shot. Well, I didn't have $100. He wanted to play for $100, see. So the boys around there, this Miller guy that was telling you about, see, he put in 50, I think. I had about $10 or $20. And the guy at another place put in the rest, see. The other guy, he goes up and gets it, brings his cue in, screws it in, you know. He says, who's breaking? I said, we'll flip for a break. We flip. He broke. He had the break. I run them all down, see. He unscrews his cue. Well, that was one of the things. No, Mary, don't get married. I'm just glad enough to take this.
I like this. Too,
man. That was fun. We never seen it.
Did he pay $100?
Yeah. That was on the line. They had
to put it on the line. Plane.
That's what I mean. I was trying to turn up on it.
I was a Canadian champion.
Huh? Well, that was long off. That was about 1911 or 12.
Didn't you have a place then down there?
Huh?
You were managing a pool.
I was managing the Ocean Pool and the Ocean Hotel at that time. And this guy came into Larry Pool. He was the champion of Canada. So the Greek, Jimmy, afterwards he got that big boy there. Anyway, he came down to Smitty, says, I got a towel for you. There you were, so that thing. He's champion of Canada. He went to play. He won game 100 points in pool. Well, I says, what's the odds and what's the deal? Well, I said, you can beat it.
Oh.
He said, I can beat it. Jimmy
I get that.
Corrales. Do you remember Merrill? Jimmy Corrales?
I never met him.
He had that Paramount victory after that. Leon played for his daughter's marriage. That's the only time I've seen him, but 10 or 15 years after that. Leon told me one time when we were on Washburn Ring, she had to go and play.
They're related to Manson Rockets. Corral.
In the way, yeah. Well, I think that's him. Well, anyway, she told me she had to play for his daughters or granddaughters or niece or something like that. Or a wedding. Or slave. Well, anyway, we went over there and here was Jimmy Crouch. Smitty! You know how they bring up Smitty. Then, when they all look at me, she says, no way, I said, yeah, it's an old buddy of mine.
They love it for your liquor, but
no,
that's my dad.
I don't drink, Ray. You know that. Well, I think it's about 1909. I come down here, and down in the basement of the Horse and Nicholas, they had a big pool in there. A game advertised between their French champion, I don't remember what his name was, he was Dopey, and some other guy. They were pretty bad. Three cushion billiards, see, so I look at that. I like three cushion billiards, they couldn't play too good, but I learned something, see, so I goes down there. I go down early. Here's two guys shooting on the pool table, shooting the balls around, see. So I applauded some big shots. You want to get in, you know, they asked me. I said, yeah, I want to get in. Boy, they knocked them balls in something terrible. And they laughed at me. They were the two guys playing, see. And one guy was, it was terrible, Merrill. I shoot pretty good, but them guys just shoot out of the world, you know. Hit the ball and it go in. Well, one of the guys after about 2 or 3 years, I said, he was a dopey. He was a three-cushion champion. I was playing that kind of company. Here it comes from Dakota. No soup on salt. But I got a kick out of it anyway. They got a kick out of me, so you think.
Were they French? Were they French?
One of them was French and the other was...
What do those guys do? Just tour through the country and clean up on...
That's right. I got one of this guy, I can't remember his name, I got his formula. He had a card printed on three cushion shots.
Huh?
So he gets these, many of you take this and you study. That's three cushion shots, if you can work that out. Remember, Ray? One time in the plane there, when I shot a ball, went around, I told you to come back in that corner. I said all the way around back in that corner. You and I and Laura played together. That was one shot he taught me. Don't blame me for that. That was him.
You're a darn good shooter. I could never beat Triple King. Never in my life. I could beat him no matter whether he was high as a post. I could never beat him.
I love a good pool player.
I do too, but I could never beat he drove them all out of there. Even now they want to play him.
Well, who's he got to play now?
Oh,
has he got anybody to play now?
Well, they were skeptical. Lane Crowder, about 1910, 12, Snyder's, when they had the drugstore, they had pool rooms down there. I was barred in there. You know, I'd go in and break up the games. I'd take the money. They didn't like that. They want to keep the games going, so they get the money. But that was years ago. Yeah, professional, you know, I mean, real professionals come in, they take me
to the first half room and you were
talking. Hey, the Radisson. But he had to have a special room?
He had a special apartment, he had a special bathtub.
Well,
I don't think the guy took a bath for a year.
He couldn't get in it, could he?
Well,
I was a master. Mrs. Cruz, you remember her?
Mrs. Cruz?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She and I were pretty good pals.
Judy, listen. If you girls want to make noise, go in the kitchen and play. Go on. You can go in the kitchen and make as much noise as you like.
She put
He's
in
asleep.
A special bathtub for him. We decorated that.
Did it have a door in it so you wouldn't have to step in it or what?
Well,
I know. See, I'd get in a bathtub.
I don't think you even took a bath. You're a dirty guy anywhere, isn't it, Ray? Republican, much better.
Well, you never took a political bath, anyway.
I got a kick out of it. Thank you, Abby.
Judy, get over here and get in bed. Come on. Now.
I don't have a wallpaper on two rooms in their apartment. There's a little gold birds flying around. See?
Gold birds.
And I spent 3 days touching up the gold birds. Okay. Just touching up the wings of where they fly.
Every gold bird, I
had it. And I did it.
And what, did Mr. Taft appreciate it?
She was good. You know, one time they took him out there and the Republicans didn't like him. He got in the Republican community. They made him talk from the manure spreader.
Oh, Dad? Brian.
Brian, he said that the only time he had to talk, he was forced to talk from a Republican
That's wonderful. Why haven't the Democrats used it?
He was my buddy. I met Brian a couple times.
I know your wife.
Who shall not crucify them on the cross of war. And out in that place that I was telling you about, Tacoma Park, where they took that great old man, Jane. He spoke there. That was in 1908, I think.
What was Brian like?
Huh?
I mean, how was Brian to meet him? I think he was a little
bit. In my estimate, of course, I was a kid, I couldn't find him. But I think he was like, he had everybody's interest in heart. The Republicans, the Democrats, and the populists. In between. So when they couldn't figure out the Republicans and the Democrats, they voted populist.
They took back his death.
See that that guy in North Dakota, Lang, what's his name?
Yeah.
Is he still running?
Yeah, he's
Holy shit, that guy is.
He's pretty good too. He's an individualist.
Well, that's a populist party, and where are those guys? He was the only guy in the out there in the range.
Sitting Bull? Did you ever, what about Laughing Horse? I thought he was a... He was a less of white man's
Crazy
Indian.
Horse.
Crazy Horse, I mean.
I think he was a Republican. He was a Cheyenne, wasn't he?
No, he was a Dakota.
You're still doing it. But she's our best writer. Like Arthur was our best defender.